There are those who say that life is an illusion, and that reality is simply a figment of the imagination.
Look who the birds have brought us this week. Welcome, and congratulations for crossing the threshold of realities. There's much to share if you know the language of the birds. Welcome back to the God Box Cafe. For those of you who are new to this podcast, a God Box is a place where you put things you can't handle. And I think pretty much everyone is in a state of overwhelm based on all of the negative information that is firing off on all directions. I have a solution that will blow your minds. And there are heroes in this world that I would put on a pedestal, and our guest tonight is one of them. Not just because she is a fan of the beautiful species that we know as horses, because some of you who know me personally know that horses are my religion. So she already wins all my praises just by that alone. But more importantly, the news that she is bringing is, in my view, the most important information you are ever going to hear. And as a psychologist and counselor, I can tell you that the information she will give you is superior to anything I could share with you. Because at the end of the day, this is not so much about how many degrees you have or how much book learning you have. The fact remains that a person's life experience is the most important thing. And this glorious, radiant being is going to share her own experience, which everyone will find value in. Without further ado, let me introduce you to Jackie Jolie. Jackie, so, so grateful to you for making time for us today. Could you start by telling us where you were at in terms of health challenges and how you found a way that was, I would say, beyond the scope of any practitioners and is vital information, because we are, in my view, beings of light. We process light. You discovered this in the most unique fashion. And as far as I'm concerned, you are the expert on this topic.
Well, I will correct you there. I really hate the word expert because I truly feel that we're always students learning. And I know I'm definitely learning. And I will give, in this talk, I'll give full credit to my mentors and everything, because I definitely have people to thank as well. But I do appreciate the introduction and appreciate having me on to share the message of light. It's definitely an honor to be on, and we'll definitely talk about horses later because that's wonderful. So thanks for having me on. I'm Jackie Jolie. I'm a certified quantum health coach as a second job now to my daily job of working on horses for a living. I'm a body worker for horses. Been doing that about 12 years. Always considered myself a rather quote unquote healthy person, you know, working outside with horses every day, being outside. I ate a pretty healthy, like whole foods, paleo diet. I worked out, rode horses, the whole shebang. Until about 5 years ago, I got Lyme disease and I was bit by a tick. Didn't have superior symptoms right away, but as like severe fatigue, some joint pain, no libido, and this like irritable rage that is not my personality at all that came forward, I knew something was definitely going on, and some inflammation and kind of digestive issues. Luckily, we caught everything in time that I didn't end up getting a lot of the chronic mental brain barrier, long-term Lyme disease that some people really have to deal with for a long time going undiagnosed. Now, the difference in treatment, of course, is when you go into our modern medical paradigm, my doctor that did find and diagnose the Lyme disease, their treatment protocol is 3 months of antibiotics. And at that time I was 35 and I'd probably had maybe 5 days worth of antibiotics in my whole entire life at one time. And I already knew the side effects of lots of antibiotics as far as ruining your microbiome and your gut. And I was like, that just doesn't sound, it was not resonating with me at all as a treatment protocol. And so I stayed curious and I asked the doctor questions and I said, okay, well, if I do the 3 months of antibiotics and I come back in and we retest and I still have Lyme, then what do we do? Oh, we just put another 3 months of antibiotics in you. And I was like, okay, so that doesn't work. So I went home and just started, you know, Googling and researching and looking up information. I did find the work of Dr. Buhner, B-U-H-N-E-R, and he actually works with herbal tinctures, the medicines. He's an animist. Well, he was an animist. He actually passed this past year. We lost a really, truly wise wizard. If anybody out there in the audience is dealing with Lyme, I still highly recommend his protocol and his medicine. It definitely helps you to be able to break down the Lyme and their microbiomes that they have. But even once I treated the Lyme holistically with herbs, about 90 to 120 days, I went back in for blood work. Obviously, the Lyme came back negative, but everything else in my blood work was on the floor. So hormones were on the floor, thyroid was on the floor. I still had no libido. I still didn't have a ton of energy, was still dealing with a ton of brain fog. The doctor then wants to put you on thyroid medication and replacement hormones. And I'm just not a big modern pharmaceutical drug taker. And about 30 days after that, a good friend of mine, so my first credit goes to Jim Laird. He was my personal trainer from years ago. And he's always just been one of my angels in life, guiding me on these little paths that led me to the right choice in life. Paleo eating, lifting weights instead of running, things like that. He had come across the work of Dr. Jack Kruse, K-R-U-S-E. And so he truly is the mentor and the guru. And if you're going to slap expert on anybody, he's definitely going to be one of them. He has been teaching and preaching about quantum health and light for almost 20 years now. He's a neurosurgeon from Louisiana. And so he came up through the modern paradigm until he got injured himself and had a little bird kind of leave a seed for him as well. That ended up turning him on to quantum health, which there's three pillars of quantum health, which is light, water, and magnetism. Obviously, we only have an hour tonight, and so we're going to do the very brief synopsis of light, because it truly is the foundation anyways. The way that it interacts with water and magnetism for it all to work together to make your body the battery that it truly is, you have to have the light. If you had the other two pillars and not the light, it wouldn't work. And so light truly is the most powerful natural source of energy and the fastest source of energy that we have in existence. And you can look at that from the physical level or even from the esoteric and spiritual level of us being light beings. We literally have evolved and adapted and whichever, you know, creation story that you want to believe in. Even if you go back to the biblical, what was the first words in Genesis? Let there be light. And then light is mentioned thousands of times in the Bible and thousands of times in other religious textbooks and scriptures. So it truly is the foundation of health. And usually, even when we work from a naturopath or holistic way of healing, in our modern world, if you talk to anybody about health, they're still going to say, okay, well, your diet and your exercise and your sleep are the most important health aspects you can have. I'm not knocking those. They are important. But light is the elephant in the room that's the foundation that if you get your light life right, which is what I'm here to help you understand and help with, hopefully, all those other things, your sleep, your diet, and your exercise are all going to fall into place and allow you to actually optimize so that you don't have to kill yourself in a gym 7 days a week for 2 hours. You know, you don't have to be super strict on your diet. There are some rules according to light and nature. But if you get those in line, your diet's going to become easier to where you just don't even have to think about it. It actually comes very intuitive of like what you should be eating and what you're going to be craving. And then with sleep, man, so you have to have light to be able to make melatonin, to be able to make yourself sleepy, to go to sleep and have restful sleep, to run your dishwasher, which is your programs to get rid of cancerous cells and toxic cells. So that you can have that restful sleep. And actually, it really in the order would be light, sleep, food and then exercise, really, and the importance of looking at things in life. So that's kind of where I started and led down that road. When I learned about Jack Cruz and the light stuff, I was like, well, it sounds kind of simple, but it's free to try. Like, what am I going to lose? Let's try it. And the very first things I started doing was waking up for sunrise and taking my dogs on a walk. No sunglasses, not a ton of clothing. I mean, I wasn't naked on the street, obviously, but tried to bare my skin as much as possible, as he preaches. No contacts, no sunglasses, no sunscreen. And sunrise would be the first light that ever hits my skin or my eyes. So I'm not looking at my phone. I'm not turning on the TV. I'm not looking at my laptop. I'm not turning on big LED and fluorescent light bulbs in my house, going straight out for the sunrise. And I said, okay, well, I'll just give it 30 days and just see what happens. You know, most everything you want to try to give it 30 days and just see if there's any changes. So obviously, like, you get into a good habit. It just felt good to be up early and you get a lot done. So that was typical. Felt good to get some exercise and move around first thing in the morning. Typical. The biggest thing that I noticed that changed for my physiology in just actually less than 30 days of walking at sunrise was the majority of my adult life, I was never hungry in the morning. You'll meet these people, they wake up and they're ravaging hungry. That was never me, but I was never seeing the sunrise. And I did the whole intermittent fasting, like that's supposed to be better for you. And I would starve basically all day and have a very small lunch, only have coffee or caffeine in the morning with no breakfast, small lunch. And then I would eat a really, really big dinner late at night after dark and in front of the TV or the phone or the computer. So I was screwing up all kinds of light life stuff, and we'll get into that. Within 3 weeks of walking outside at sunrise, my stomach started to growl while I was walking, and it was continuous. It wasn't just like a random one-off day. Like, it continued to be a pattern. And I said, well, there's got to be something to this then, because that's never happened in my life. And there is. We could connect ghrelin with insulin, with leptin, and we probably don't really have the time tonight to get into that deep science, but there's ways for people to contact me and get more of the deeper information. But that's kind of where it started to change. And then honestly, everything just compounded after that. I've been living this life now for 4 years, 4.5 years. I have more libido, I have more energy, all my hormone and thyroid levels came up to optimal, and I'm just thriving. Like, I am going to be 39 in a week, and I have more energy now than I ever did in my 20s. And I just feel good. My brain just fires, and like synapses, you know, it's just like firing all the time, and I can read stuff and actually retain it. So there's all these little nuances in life that we get told, well, we're just getting old, or your vision's going bad, or you're a woman and you're going into perimenopause. And there's all these, you know, excuses and these things that we get labeled with to make us feel really helpless. And we're not. We're very strong. Our bodies are very strong. They always want to heal no matter what, if they're given the right time and environment, right? And unfortunately, in our modern world, we're living a very unnatural environment. So we have disconnected and unsynced from nature. And so we're basically zoo animals. Statistics show that people are spending about 93% of their time indoors. And then that means that we're under artificial light. So your LEDs and your fluorescent light bulbs are fake light. And then all of our tech screens, so your cell phone, your laptop, your TV, they put out a very alienated blue light. And we can kind of get into the wavelengths and understand the science in a minute. But that's kind of my story, how I got started, how I got into light and quantum health, how it has made me just thrive. Even not just on a physiological level, but mental and also spiritual. I have been given downloads now for an invention for a new product that's going to be light therapy for animals that I am starting. And then I just want to share this message. So I now teach, you know, webinars and local seminars at yoga studios or health clubs or whoever will have me. I'll come and talk to you about it. So that's kind of my story and where I got started and how I am here now with you.
That was an incredible synopsis and something that I'm sure many people can relate to. And I would attribute a lot of the mental health issues to precisely what you just described, which is, from my perspective at an epidemic level. And I'm in Canada, and the statistics with regards to drug overdoses is through the roof. And so much of it is depression and anxiety oriented, and everyone's been traumatized way more than what would be considered acceptable where anxiety and depression is concerned. So help us to understand how the exposure to light facilitates a change in emotional well-being, as well as the actual physiological effects that are triggered by exposure to that light.
Yes. So we'll just start with a little bit of the science first, just because you got to get people to kind of understand how it works, if they're ever going to really understand it, and then also to really create habits. If you truly understand the power behind light, it will help you create those changes and those habits in your life. So when we were back in, you know, third and fourth grade of biology, we obviously learned about the full spectrum of light, natural light. And all that means is just the rainbow, right? I'm not sure what they taught in Canada, because I know in other countries it's different. But like in the United States, we learned the acronym Roy G. Biv. And same. That was each colors, okay, of the wavelength. So red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Each one of those colored wavelengths gets measured at nanometers. And basically all that means is that light is sending down little packets of information. They're called photons. And those photons of light, of information, are just codes that come down. And when they hit our eyes and our skin, it gives our body information. And it's just information for that different time of the day of things that our body is supposed to be doing, right? We have lots of systems that run in our body: endocrine, digestive, cranial, musculoskeletal, reproductive. We have all these separate systems, but yet everything is connected and everything runs off of clocks. So luckily, the term circadian rhythm is starting to pick up some speed and popularity, especially on the natural health side, but hopefully I've seen some articles in mainstream media kind of coming along. Circadian rhythms were originally found in the 30s, and they just won the Nobel Prize in 2017. So most scientists say it takes anywhere from 10 to 20 years after something won Nobel Prize to kind of get to the normal public, which I still don't, I don't understand it, but I do, because I think big pharma gets in the way. But anyway, circadian rhythms are basically our natural clock that we have in our bodies. It's your biological clock. Well, the only way for your clock to actually get the signals to stay on time and telling time correctly, right, because that's what we want all of our watches and clocks to do, is by light. Now, obviously, you can have your natural light and your artificial light. So like I said before, with the rainbow outside, with the sun, you're getting all those wavelengths that coming at you at different wavelengths and nanometers that respond with a different physiological effect in your body. Now, it's a crescending effect. So we have sunrise, and then the sun kind of rises up to 30 degrees, kind of hits the middle of the sky, and then it starts crescendoing down to sunset. The most important thing to remember about the natural spectrum is 43% of the time out of the whole day, no matter if it's at sunrise, middle of the day, or sunset, you have a majority of red and orange light wavelengths, which are your very healing wavelengths. So those are your red and your infrared, where you get a little bit of like heat that you can feel off of the sun. So most people, and I'm sure on your podcast for sure, has heard of infrared saunas or infrared blankets, or even like red light therapy and laser therapy is starting to really pick up some steam. So that's all light. And your red and your orange is your very healing wavelength. So that's where you can hydrate your soft tissue. You can break up scar tissue. It gives you endorphins. It helps you detox, especially on the infrared. So if you're sweating, obviously that helps alleviate toxins. There's evidence in research that shows it can be performance enhancing and can help grow back hair and can shrink tumors. Like, it almost seems to have the tag of it's the cure-all for all. I hate to usually label that on any type of medicine or protocol, but light truly is that powerful. And I don't think enough research has even been done to prove all of the properties that it has. Anyways, so red and orange light throughout the whole day. Now, the exciting thing and what's important is at sunrise and at sunset, you only have red and orange light. So that is the light, and they're at different frequencies at those different times of day. So like when you wake up and you only see the sunrise first, those frequencies of red and orange tell your body like, oh, it's morning. It's time to get up. It's time to start turning on cortisol and blood sugar, ghrelin, which ties into leptin, which ties into insulin, which is what ends up telling you, you know, you're hungry or you're satiated, depending on if you've eaten or not. So you get all of that that's kind of going. You want to get your hormones going. You want to get all of your feel-good hormones. So on the psychological level, your serotonin, your dopamine, all of these things are supposed to start kicking in on a slow crescendo with the sun and as the UVB comes in. Instead, like compared to modern world, we don't look at the sunrise. We've slept in past the sunrise. We wake up, we look at the phone first thing, then we pour two big cups of coffee. Maybe we don't eat breakfast. And all you're doing is hijacking that cortisol and that blood sugar to go way up real fast. Like you just took like a speed pill or something, you know? And it's not supposed to do that. And so that's what gets the body like super anxious and excited, jittery, maybe people dealing with anxiety or overwhelm. And so when we go back to nature of at sunrise, you get that red and orange. So it's going to start telling all those systems to turn on, run on time. It also helps you on your bare skin to start building what we consider what we call a solar callus in the quantum health community. So when the sun gets a really bad reputation about causing cancer and the UVB light causing cancer, and we can get into that later if you'd like, the sun in nature has already programmed in our bodies and out with the light with the sun to put in protective measures to protect our skin and put in a natural sunscreen in our skin. It's called melanin. obviously, people from other countries that have darker skin, as far as like Africa or Latin America or South America, they have more melanin in their skin. That's the only reason why they have darker colored skin, right? It has nothing to do with race. It's literally a science and a light story. So they need more sun actually because of that. But a lot of us that are fair skinned, we worry about being out in the sun. If you go out at sunrise and at sunset with as much bare skin as you can do, you will start to build a solar callus. And that's basically just your skin and nature's protective SPF. So that then when the UVB light does come out after the sun has crescendoed past 30 degrees, you're protected. I can sit out in the sun now for 6 or 8 hours in the middle of the summer at the beach and I never burn. And of course, it takes years to build that up if you've been somebody that has stayed inside for a long time or live up north where you don't get UVB all the time. You can work on those. So that kind of shows the colors and the wavelengths that do that. Now, that's why sunrise and sunset are important. You only get the red and the orange, so it's very healing. In the morning, it wakes everything up and it starts working on your solar callus. You get the UVB that comes through stronger in the middle of the day. We'll talk about that next. And then at sunset again, you just get red and orange, but it's at a dimmer frequency to let the body know, hey, it's almost nighttime. So that red and orange at sunset is going to help soothe the skin from being out in the UVB. And it's also going to tell the body, oh, it's almost dark. We need to now release our melatonin, which you can only make when you're in UVB, so that we can start getting sleepy. We're going to go into darkness to release that melatonin. And melatonin has lots of jobs besides just helping us sleep. And we can get into that. But you have to have all those processes that happen. Now, in the middle of the day, when the UVB comes out that has such a bad reputation of causing cancer and being harmful and et cetera, et cetera, you actually need UVB for so many functions. So a few things. You have to have UVB to make vitamin D. You also have to have cholesterol in your system to work with the UVB wavelengths to make vitamin D. So think about that, like number one right now killer in the United States is cardiac issues, heart attacks, strokes, high cholesterol, heart surgery, right? If people are staying inside more and not getting outside to use up the cholesterol in your system to make vitamin D, you are going to get plaque and you are going to get this buildup from being inside. And then you don't have the vitamin D either to be able to fight off pneumonia or colds or sicknesses or the issues with your heart. So number one, UVB is actually so important to make vitamin D. And I think from what everybody has lived through now in the past 3 years, I think we realize the importance of vitamin D for our immune system. Number two, UVB also lowers your blood pressure naturally. So it will lower your cholesterol naturally. It will also lower your blood pressure naturally. So it actually dilates the arteries and veins in our tissue and allows the nitric oxide that we've had built up from like sleeping overnight or maybe some stress, not breathing well, having anxiety, things like that. The sun will naturally lower that for you from the UVB light. So think about all the people now that deal with high blood pressure from staying inside. They're not letting that release, and then they're put on statins and all kinds of other issues that have really bad side effects. That's number two. Number three, when we get onto like the psychological level and tying things into mental health, I know most people in the natural health community and even in the modern world now is learning how important the gut is, right? The gut is the second brain. Although for every message that the brain sends the gut sends back nine. So I think he probably is the one that wears the boss hat. But so the gut actually does several different functions besides just digesting your food. But obviously it is your microbiome. You want to have good acid. You want to have a good microbiome with bacteria so that you can digest your food and not have digestive issues. That's number one. But number two, your gut is actually where your immune system and your T cells are made. Your gut is also where your sexual hormones are made. So your progesterone, your pregnenolone, testosterone, and estrogen. And then your gut is also where all of your feel-good hormones are made. So your serotonin, your dopamine, your tryptophan, all the things that, of course, on a psychological level, when people start having mental health issues, it has a lot to do with lowered dopamine, lowered serotonin. They don't have a zest for life. They don't have any initiative. They don't feel good. They're depressed. And then it just cycles. Well, let me ask you, how many people do you think get their belly out in the middle of the day in the sun every single day? I didn't. And I still now I'm like, I'll be outside and I'm like, okay, I'm outside. I'm like, oh, my belly. And I'll like raise up my shirt, you know, and let the sun hit my belly. It needs those light signals to be able to turn on all those triggers to be able to create all of that. So I hope in that kind of scientific synopsis and kind of how things turn on and turn off, in a brief way. Oh, so let me tie it into the artificial light. Obviously, then we can obviously see now in our modern world, everybody is staying inside away from those light signals. So they're not getting any of those. So you're not getting your vitamin D, you're not getting your cholesterol, you're not getting your blood pressure lowered, you're not getting your feel good hormones, you're not getting your sexual hormones, all those things. And then we come home at night and it turns dark. And what do? We turn on all the fake lights. So your LEDs and your fluorescent light bulbs, they only put off a blue light wavelength. All of your tech screens, so your laptop, your TV, and your cell phone, they only put off a blue wavelength. Now, how does that tie into everything that I've talked about? When we talked about the different wavelengths of the sun and the natural spectrum, you do get blue, purple, and indigo when the UVB starts to come up over 30 degrees. But remember, at the same time, you still have your red, orange, and yellow as your protector. They're like your big brother looking out for you when all that light is coming through. When you only have one wavelength by itself, that's where it can be damaging, especially on the blue wavelengths, because they're very short and strong and they're coming at you faster. And that's how UVB actually got such a bad rep, because there was only one study done back in like the 30s on nocturnal mice using only UVB lamps. So of course they got tumors, and then they said, oh, UVB is bad, it causes cancer. Well, you did this experiment on nocturnal mice, which are different than diurnal animals like humans. And you did it in a laboratory with artificial lights, not out in the sun. And you also only used UVB lights. So it's just like, yeah, going and sticking somebody in a tanning bed that's only UVB lights, it can cause damage to the skin and it can cause cancer. So the blue light that's now coming from your fluorescent lights, LED lights, and all of your tech screens, what that's telling your body clock in your body is that it's noon. Right? Because if you think about when do we get blue light in nature, in the middle of the day, and you need that blue light. I don't want to make it seem like blue light's the bad guy. He's the bad guy when he's by himself and at night, because we're supposed to be in the dark at night for all of our other nocturnal functions in our body to be occurring. So when you're looking at blue screens at night, you're telling your body that it's noon or 1 o'clock in the day instead of being 8 or 9. Well, what happens then? In the middle of the day, when you have all that blue light, you're getting huge rushes of adrenaline and cortisol and blood sugar, you know, to go out and build the teepee and kill the lion and deal with stress and deal with modern life, right? You don't need to do that at night. And so now we're seeing all these increases in autoimmune diseases, cancer, blood sugar, you know, blood pressure, heart disease. And it's all because you can look down and look at your blue light at night, and it is going to raise your blood sugar, no matter if you just ate a donut or a salad or nothing. It will raise your blood sugar regardless. So I hope that's kind of a decent synopsis of the science and then how it's kind of affecting us in the modern world of where now our circadian rhythms are very chaotic, which chaos in the body is inflammation. Chronic inflammation leads to disease and death. And obviously we're seeing that in large numbers. And the sad part is we're seeing it at younger and younger ages now. And that's not genetic and bad luck. It's because we have completely disconnected from nature and the natural light spectrum. And that's how powerful it is.
I couldn't agree more. And it was very concise and perfectly articulated. So thank you for that. I can't believe that you did that in so short a time. And I'm sure everyone was able to integrate and comprehend what you just said. It's important that it be fully processed to a point where people will commit to changing their lifestyles. So say, for example, now I am north enough and the climate's cold enough that the notion of baring my belly in January just ain't going to happen. So what do we do, Jackie, when you're in a situation where geographically, climate-wise, it's not 100% easy to push yourself in terms of exposing yourself to the other elements in an effort to consume the rays, which are weaker based on the Earth's tilt in the winter months?
Yeah. Everybody now above the 35th parallel, which is basically like Tennessee line in the United States, anybody above that, your UVB's gone till March or April. It's done. It was done in October. So you guys won't get that UVB anymore. The good news is a lot of you, and depending on what town you're in, you're still at higher elevation. And so at higher elevation, you're still going to get some pretty good rays from the sun and like reflection on, you know, snow and also just being at those latitudes. I'm still going to say that at the end of the day, natural light is still more important than any type of biohack that I'm about to share. So if you can be brave and you can go outside for even 5 minutes and get your belly and get your face in the sun in the middle of the day for 5 minutes and then go back inside and cover up, you're still going to get those light signals. And I would recommend that when people take, you know, smoke breaks at work, you're just going to take a light break, a sun break. And I would recommend, you know, sunrise and then several times throughout the day, maybe every hour, you just go out and spend 5 to 10 minutes and then come back inside. I'm still going to recommend that, especially because when people don't have the UVB, what you can use instead as a substitute, because obviously as humans, we have all adapted away from Africa and into older, colder areas. That's where we got fair skin, blue eyes, so we can absorb more light. We can also absorb the cold. So a lot of people don't like the cold and they're not going to like this answer. but you can use cold to your advantage. And so the cold will actually help your mitochondria, which is our energy powerhouses of the cell. And that's who responds to our light environment around us. It will actually invigorate them to cause them to try to warm up your body and create energy and create extra water for insulation. That's where all those like water and magnetism pillars come in. And maybe we can just have another podcast interview on some of that at another time. But the cold you can actually use to your advantage. So cold plunging or being out in the cold, actually when your skin is cold, you become a better absorber. If you think about like a battery, or if anybody's an engineer on here, a semiconductor, I take that from Jack Cruz, they work better with cold. You know, nuclear power plants are surrounded by really cold, frigid air or water. And so that causes your battery to have better longevity and work longer and have a higher battery life. And so it's kind of the same for us that have adapted away from the equator and southern areas that still get UVB through the winter, we've got to use the cold to our advantage. So I am still going to say to your listeners, you still really need to try to brave. And some people love the cold, you know, they'll go out and you can adventure and you can do sports. And if you can try to get as minimal clothing as you can, even for that 5 minutes, you're going to get really great results from it, and cold plunging and things like that. I would still really recommend the sunrise and the sunset viewing. And again, you know, no contacts, no sunglasses, no sunscreen. And then as far as biohacks go, you can choose to do some things. So obviously red light therapy, infrared saunas are going to help your mitochondria in your body as well through the winter months to create water, to create energy, to create heat. So those are really great to get involved with. Cold plunging, again, of course, helps. And then there are some companies out there. There's a company called Spurdy Light, and they actually make like an SAD sun vitamin D lamp that people can use in countries where it's either dark all the time or you are in a very winter area that has a lot of cold. The only caveat and caution that you want to take with those is obviously it's a sun lamp, right? So it's all UVB light. So number one, you wouldn't want to use it at night because that will also only put off blue light. Jack Cruz really recommends doing it outside. So then that way you're getting the full spectrum of light from the sun, whether, you know, you're not getting UVB, but you're getting all of your red, orange, and you're getting all the big brother protection while you're using the sunlight on your body. Or some people will do, if you really want to only do it inside, they'll get like a red light device, like a panel, and then they'll also get the sunlight device, and they'll try to use those in conjunction on the body. And you really only need 5 minutes, 8 minutes. Like, that light is very strong. So you have to remember, it's very similar to a tanning bed. You don't want too much of only UVB on your body. Those are definitely some of the biohacks with light and cold that you can use, you know, in our modern life as well. Besides being in artificial light, we also put ourselves in an artificial environment year round. Most people drive with their windows and sunroof open with AC or heat on, and then you're usually in your office or your house with AC or heat on, and we're living in this constant 72, 74 degree weather, and our bodies and our mitochondria were meant and built to be exposed to the different temperatures of hot and cold. So I'm in Louisiana, which it gets super hot in the summer. And I tell you, I'll be the only one with my sunroof and windows down, you know, with the wind and the sunshine, and everybody else has all their windows out. In the wintertime now, it's just starting to get chilly here. I have my windows open in the house, no heat on, and I try to sleep as cold and dark as possible. That's what our bodies were meant for.
Very, very useful advice. Now, for the urban dweller, I am lucky because I live close to a lake, and I get there as often as I possibly can. Right. And that, from a horizon standpoint, at least allows me an opportunity to see the sunrise. But say a person only for miles around has got skyscrapers and nothing but the odd sad tree, and that's about the extent of it. How, if they're not in a position to make an effort to commute someplace where they can actually see that, What choice do they have in terms of some possible alternative to reap the benefits of that red light?
Move. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not a single. So I'm like, get out of there. Get out of there.
Oh, you know what? That's the best advice. But yeah, for those who can't.
I mean, at the end of the day, I would still say that is the optimal advice, because the city just fries you. We haven't even talked about non-native EMFs yet. But as far as the sun goes, so the cool thing about light is it expands, right? Those little packets of energy, those photons, they just expand. And the best way to kind of describe that is if you were in your dark bedroom and had your door shut, but the hallway light was on, you can still see some of that light that comes under the crack of the door, right? And so it's an expansion of light, which is awesome. So even though, yes, it's beautiful to see a horizon shot of the sun, even where I live, I have trees everywhere, even though I'm in the country. So I don't actually get a horizon shot of the sun unless I drive somewhere or I'm at the beach or somewhere that has that. So really the most important thing is that light expands. So you just need to make sure that you're outside with your eyes clear and open and your skin clear and open. And even on really, because I get this question a lot too, like cloudy days or super cold days where you just want to stay inside, just open your window. If you're in the car, just crack your window. Like, that light is going to come in. Do you need and want more of that in like a consistency time? Absolutely. But in those cases where it's, you know, raining or it's cloudy or gloomy, super cold, and you can't bear to be outside, you know, just open that window for 10 or 15 minutes for sunrise. Let your eyes at least get that clock signal and then go back to what you're doing, you know, indoors. And so that's a total easy way that, you know, city people can definitely handle that. Especially you have usually a lot of moms and dads that are up before it's even sunrise and then got to take the kids to school and they're in a car, they can't even be outside. So you can just open up those windows or that sunroof and you're going to be able to get those light signals into your eyes. And if that's your light exposure during the week, then I would definitely just really try to push that on the weekends. You're trying to get out and get as much time outside in sun and in nature as you possibly can.
I want people to absorb that. Just take a moment and absorb that. I can't emphasize enough how important that is. And I still agree with you. It's definitely time to move if you're in that situation, which takes me to the next question with respect to EMF situations. So I know several people that I dealt with as clients who had hypersensitivity to the bombardment of all of these cell towers that are focused in a very, very small footprint. Mm-hmm. And it is wreaking havoc on every possible level. So that's another word of warning to everyone. Apart from the addiction to the technology, the fact of the matter is that we're bombarded with this artificial, it's almost like a dome of garbage. And once again, if a person has to live in a city, they work there, they're being exposed to it. What are your recommendations as far as diminishing the damage to that?
Move. No, in all seriousness, I would definitely get smart about looking up and researching on non-native EMFs. I'll give kind of just a brief synopsis real quick of that science in case there are some listeners that don't know what that is or understand what that is. So obviously, when we just talked about the wavelengths of the sun, there's also other wavelengths of energy surrounding us that we don't always see or feel, but they still have a physiological effect just like the sun's rays, right? We don't always see the blue or the red, but they're having that effect anyways. So if anybody's heard of the Schumann resonance, that's actually the planet's natural energy frequency that it's vibrating at. And it's like 7.28 hertz, I believe. And so that's a very healing wavelength. And that's what our bodies and our DNA and our genetics are all used to being born and living around. It's what the animals are used to. And then we got technology, right? And so even with originally with electricity, and then with the invention of the cell phones and computers, and then of course the Wi-Fi and the internet, right? These machines that we have in our hands, the cell phones, the laptops, our TVs, and certainly anything that is smart and wireless, it is putting off really large amounts of radiation, first of all, because that's how they actually work, pinging back and forth to a tower. They use radiation for that. So, you know, if you were to look at any regular human being and say, hey, can I x-ray you every day for the hell of it? Most people would probably be like, I don't know if that's safe. That is what you're doing when you have your cell phone next to your ear, which is next to your brain, or next to your breast, or next to your testicles, or next to your ovaries. You should not have that thing anywhere on your body whatsoever. And any Bluetooth or Wi-Fi device, so the watches, the AirPods, you are microwaving your brain. So that they use radiation. So that's the first concern. But number two, they actually create these non-native electromagnetic fields. That's what non-native EMFs mean. A natural EMF, which would be like the Schumann resonance, the wind in the air, salt water, good feelings and positive vibes. Those are all good natural energy that comes out of us and out of the ground and in our environment that's healing and positive for us and can help us. When it's unnatural and man-made, it's actually harmful. And when we looked at the Schumann resonance, which is measuring at hertz, when they measure these cell phones now and like the 5G that just came out, it's at like 128 gigahertz, which is like 10 billion with a B times stronger than what the natural field coming off of the earth is. So number one, we're all dealing with that. Whether you live in the country or you don't, especially in the last 2 years, there's 5G towers everywhere, right? if you can live out in the country, and especially if you have pine trees around you, they're really great at blocking it. A metal roof is really great at blocking it. There's definitely a lot you can do in the country to be able to mitigate your exposure. Now, everybody, whether you're in the country or you're in the city, you need to be turning off your modems at night. So your Wi-Fi modem, there's no reason to have that on at night. And that is putting off a really huge magnetic field, and it's interrupting your sleep and your kids' sleep and your pets that are in your home. If you leave it on during the day when your pets are home, they're also getting exposed. So we're seeing the pet industry and animals getting all kinds of crazy cancers and autoimmune diseases and dying early as well. And they're your canary in the coal mine. If your dog gets sick, there's something in your environment that's also coming after you. And so I never have my modem connected unless I need it. And then I also hardwire it with a USB cable, an Ethernet cable from the modem to my laptop. And I have my Wi-Fi turned off on the laptop. So right now talking to you, I don't have any type of Wi-Fi that's coming from the modem to this laptop. My cell phone, I have a case on it that's a protection case against radiation. Those are really smart to get, whether you live in the country or the city. What else? Using your phone, I would either have it on speakerphone or have the wired speaker earbuds that you can use. Do not put that thing up against your head anymore at all. And you can go research all of this. It's not going to be on your mainstream media, but there are lawsuits now for like really fatal brain tumors that actually RFK Jr. is fighting right now. And these are from the cell phones from 20 years ago, not the ones now that are shooting out massive amounts of radiation. Yeah, so smart stuff and Wi-Fi stuff, just Bluetooth, get rid of it. Like, it's just get rid of it. Like, you don't need it. You will not miss it. Just get rid of it. For people in the city, yeah, it's very unfortunate, because if you live in an apartment complex or a condo or a townhouse, you're going to have your neighbor's Wi-Fi that's coming over through the walls. Some towers and buildings in cities are loaded with 5G towers on them to try to, like, push out all of the signals. There's not a lot, to be honest, that you can mitigate against that. There are some bed canopies that I've seen online that people will use, and it's made out of silver. Silver does block cell phone radiation. And you can make a canopy out of your bed, and you have to ground it and all that. I've never had to do that because I always live in the country and turn everything off at night. But if you do live in the city and you're interested in that, I would just go research that some and look up, you know, the different cell phone canopies you can use for your bed. But that would definitely be some of the biohacks that I would recommend, of just trying to not get so much exposure from all of those tech devices between the blue light at night and then also the Wi-Fi radiation that's coming off of them.
Excellent. This is a treasure trove of things that would extend a person's lifespan and all of the beloved animals in their homes too. I have seen numerous instances where whatever a person's malady is, the animal shows signs of it before.
Yes.
I remember encountering a person who was walking their dog, and there was a spot, literally the fur on the back had totally changed. The color was gone. And I asked her, "Do you have back trouble?" And she said, "How would you know that?" And I said, "Well, your dog sending me a big flag here." And they take on so much. This is important for all living things. So that is something that we have to take into our own hands, because as you mentioned so clearly, mainstream media is not our friend. It's not going to convey anything but propaganda that has been part of decades worth of lobbying on the part of multinational corporations that are not interested at all in you being healthy. They're just interested in selling you the drugs. So I'll get off my soapbox now where that's concerned, but I know you're on the same page with me on that. And I'm not even going to start talking about chemtrails, because that's another thing that we've been sprayed like cockroaches for decades here, and especially in the larger metropolises, of which there are a lot fewer in Canada. But let's talk about what happens when a person... We're in the northern climes, it's cold for a good 6 months of the year, and then you have that vacation where you end up going to Puerto Vallarta or Acapulco or Cuba, and now your sad white ass has never seen the light for months on end, and you're sitting out there baking. what do you recommend when someone books a vacation because they don't have a solar callus? So in this instance, that level of exposure, what do you suggest that people do if they've got, say, 10 days where they're trying to absorb the light that they possibly can that they're not getting when they're at home?
So I'll first just say with a caveat, like start spending time outside, even in the cold morning and afternoon, building that solar callus. It's literally the only way you can do it, especially once you guys are in your summer months and you can get some of that UVB and lights. You need to be like loading that up and spending as much time as possible. But sunrise and sunset is where you can build that solar callus, even in the northern latitudes. The cold will also help you preserve that melanin in your skin as you start to build it, okay? So that's still priority and optimal, even though most people don't want to hear that. Just spend out in the cold. And then as you can build that, you'll get better about going and spending more time in Acapulco or, you know, Cabo or Mexico or whatever that you're going to go to. You do need to just realize that now you are going to go somewhere that has much stronger UVB than you even get in the summertime, right? You're closer to the equator. So you do need to be prepared. I will say on a dietary factor, it's coming out now, definitely in the naturopath side, but seed oils are very inflammatory to our gut and also very inflammatory to our skin. And they will definitely cause you to burn. That's been the only time where I've noticed getting a little bit red or something if I've ended up getting like some soybean oil from a restaurant or something. I mean, they use canola, vegetable, and soybean in everything, especially at restaurants. So just be careful of your labels there. Be careful of what you're ingesting. They'll definitely be more inflammatory and cause you to burn more. If you do want to use protection, just use discernment. So if you're going down to Mexico for 10 days, okay, don't go out and be like the hero's journey and stay out all day long for the first 3 days because your ass is going to be burnt. You're going to cause damage and you're going to hate the next 4 days because you're not going to be able to withstand any sun. So just be smart about it. If you did the same thing up north as far as getting your morning and your afternoon light, do the same thing in Mexico. You know, go out in the morning for sunrise, take a beautiful sunrise walk, have a big breakfast. Go and spend your beach time early morning when the real strong sun has come out. If you're still going to be on the beach, get under an umbrella, cover yourself up with a hat, clothing, a little camping tent, or just go explore the city or go back to your hotel room and take a nap, you know? Get out of that really, really bright light. You're still going to be getting UVB early in the morning and late in the afternoon because of how close you are to the equator. So you want to make sure that you're definitely on your circadian clocks and rhythms down there as far as seeing sunrise and sunset. And then just be smart about not being out in the middle of the day gaining all that sun that's going to burn you. You're still going to get all the benefits from getting morning and afternoon sunlight. And then after the strong sun during the day, go back out in the afternoon and play volleyball and get in the water and, you know, tan then. I'm okay. There is some natural recipes for natural SPF that uses like coconut oil. I believe it's grape seed and carrot seed oil, and you can mix those together with zinc oxide and make like a natural sunscreen. I give the A-OK on that for most parts, especially when you're first starting this journey. You know, hey, I'm going to Mexico. Like, I want to be on the beach and I want to use protection. At least that's going to be a healthier option than slathering on like the chemical-laden, cancer-causing sunscreen that's on the shelves. But just know that you really want to start getting away from slathering anything on the body that's going to be a barrier to the sun, because as I've explained earlier, you need those wavelengths to penetrate your eyes and your skin to be able to make your vitamin D, lower the cholesterol, lower the blood pressure, make your dopamine, make your serotonin, make your sex hormones. So you really don't want to block that too much, but again, when you're first starting this, and if you are fair skin, I think those are some really great options to try.
I'll never forget. I ended up going to Palm Springs. And of course, I ended up spending a fortune. This was decades ago when I could wear a bikini and show my belly happily. And I was told by a woman who lived there, and it was the smartest advice I ever got, because I had bought copious amounts of these copper tone, blah, 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 blah. You spend a fortune on those things. I didn't know any better at the time.
Right.
And she said, A, toss that all in the garbage. And she said, don't go out between 11 and 2. and slap this lard on.
Yeah,
it'll
lard.
Smell like pie. And you will get the best tan in the world. It was the only time in my life where I came back and I looked golden.
Yes.
Golden. It wasn't burnt. It wasn't lobster red. It wasn't, okay, this is all going to peel off and I'm going to look horrible when I get it. It was just like the song, you know, California Girls. I thought, wow. Wow, this is amazing. And lard, it was literally lard that she advised. So the other stuff, I bow to you. with soy and canola belongs in your car.
Yes.
Great for your engine.
Yes.
In a vehicle, but it has no business being in your body. So these are the, but nevertheless, because of the perpetual pounding by way of the media and the so-called experts in the white lab coats, who are being paid by the pharmaceuticals, that are, so many people are paranoid. They just, they slather on this garbage, and it hurts my heart when I see them slap it all on their kids.
Yeah.
And I can't seem to talk sense to them with regards to what damage they're causing because of this ridiculous paranoia about the fact that the sun, which basically is the only way we can exist, is supposedly harmful to us. So, Jackie, we're coming close to the end of, and I want to be sure that everyone who hears this can get in touch with you. And we have to have you back. I could talk to you for hours on end,
but I
don't want to abuse your time either. So, and having the joy of having you back is something that I'm absolutely looking forward to, because we have just scratched the surface on this. But from my standpoint, the most important thing is talking about light and how significant. I would go so far as to say we probably eat light. Eventually, when the DNA wakes up that's been lying dormant, we probably won't even need food anymore. So
there are breatharians apparently that live in India and certain places really high altitude, and they literally live off of sunlight and water. They apparently don't eat anything. So it is doable. I wouldn't like that because I like my ribeye steak, but it is definitely doable. I have been in this world now for about four and a half years and sharing the message and, especially to just kind of your regular Joe and Nancy out there. I've realized it's not that the quantum biology is complex, because it can be. When you break it down even to the simple way that I feel like I'm capable of doing to get people to understand, it's a shame now, because I actually think one of our biggest barriers in quantum health and teaching about light is that it's actually so simple, free, and so strong. But because of it being so simple, people go, nah, there's no way. Like, there's no way that it does all those things. And there's no way that it's that simple, because we're now in this world where you have to have 50 supplements and see your doctor four times a year and like have this whole diet and protocol where like you're worried and stressed and this and that and this, and like you just run yourself into circles. And it's a shame there. And I hope that as our messages, by doing things like this in this interview, can help change that. But it truly is that simple. And I do always like to use the analogy. Now I do steal this from Dr. Jack Cruz, but to help people really try to understand the importance and the power of light, you know, if you were going to take a plant, just like those beautiful lavender plants behind you, and put them in the ground and grow them, what do they need? They need water, sunlight, and of course, plants use photosynthesis sugar, right? But they make their own. That's actually where that comes in, where we eat our own light. They make their own sugar from that sunlight and water to produce their flowers or their nut or their seed or their leaf, whatever it might be. Now, if I was to take a big, huge black tarp and put it over that plant, what would happen? It would die, right? Because it didn't get sunlight. It didn't get any water. And even if it got a little bit of water, like from rain dripping down or something, if it didn't have the sunlight because of the tarp, it would still die, right? What are sunglasses? What is sunscreen? What are contacts? What are clothes? And that's how we end this, because I think that it's just a really powerful analogy to show it is that simple, and it's also that strong, and it's that important for people to get this.
Hallelujah. Jackie, how can people get in touch with you?
Okay, so I do have a personal Facebook and Instagram page. Facebook is Jackie Jolie. Instagram is Jolie_in_soul. That's Jolie_en_sol. And I'm pretty much sharing, you know, every couple of days, every other day, just information based off of light and health, magnetism, water, how it all kinds of connect. We can talk about grounding and cold therapy and, you know, all kinds of different things that we could add on to this conversation. So I try to include a lot of that. Some of it is definitely outside the box and a little rebellious to the mainstream media, but that's okay. And then I would like to announce that I have created a company called Equisol, EQUISOL. I have invented a red and infrared light therapy blanket for horses and dogs. They are not available for sale yet. We're still like, this is just the teaser. But I'm far enough along in my patent and prototype process that I can now start kind of putting my baby out there. And so, yeah, I would love for anybody to come and support that. It also has a Facebook and Instagram page already. The website's being created as we speak. I'm hoping to be able to launch with dog blankets by the end of spring, and then horses 6 to 12 months later. And really the idea behind all of that, which of course that was a download from the sun on a beach one day, 2.5 years ago, is, you know, obviously the answer to healing your animals just like us is to put them outside. It's free. It's an easy answer. And that would probably make me a very bad businesswoman by just telling everybody to put their animals outside and not buy my product. But again, we do live in a modern world where there's modern performance horses or dogs, or people have to work and leave their dogs inside. So that's not going anywhere, even when we try our very best to get them outside. And so the red and infrared light therapy blankets are really going to help that chronic inflammation that our animals and us humans are dealing with by living more inside and being surrounded by Wi-Fi and non-native EMFs and toxins that we get from our soil and our food and the water and the air. It will also help, obviously, on surgical procedures on animals like castration or spay and neuters, any type of abdominal surgeries. And then I truly think there's going to be a performance enhancing benefit to it as well. There's not enough animal studies behind that, but there are human studies that are proving that. And so I'm pretty excited to be able to promote that to the performance side of the animal industry as well.
Outstanding. Add me to your list of most appreciative customers, and I will pass the word on. Jackie, it was a pleasure. I am so grateful to you once again. We must meet again, and thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and for giving all of the listeners some food for thought.
Thank you so much. And actually, if you don't mind, I just want to say one more thing, because I do know this information, even as simple, and sometimes I spit it out all the time doing podcast interviews, I know that for the newcomer to this, it can be like, oh my God, it was so much information. And I was doing the diet and the this, and now I got to get my light life right. And I got to do ABC. So I always want to put out the message of, you know, don't get too stressed and worried about the perfectionism of it all with everything in life. But definitely when you hear new health information like this, because I understand what that's like, the stress can kill you more than any of it will. So don't let it overwhelm you. Really, when it comes down to light, if you can just get two things right, you need to see the sunrise first thing in the morning with no sunglasses, no contacts on before any other light for the rest of the day. Number one rule, always. It'll be the best thing you ever do for your health ever. But in conjunction with that, you have to make your nights dark, or else you ruin all of the healthy light life that you did during the day outside. You ruin it. So you have to get those two things right. And there's biohacking. You can buy red light bulbs, infrared light bulbs. You can change all kinds of stuff and make your house look like you live in Amsterdam, but who cares? So just get those two things right and work on that habit. Everything else will fall into place. And then when you have time to add on the extras, it's lanyap. But those two things will change your life and make you better. And that's really all that you should take from this message, and then go share it with everybody that you love.